Greetings to one, to all. It is Stefan from A Comedy Advice Podcast, and I am here to make your mind, body, and soul tremble with laughter. Yes, it's a positive tremble. Well, hey, everybody, just wanted to say a quick hello, give you a scoop on what's about to happen, and give you a quick thank you. So first off, special guest today, David Rozowski. He is an amazing human being. I'm thrilled to be able to present this episode to you. David has been doing improv for a long time. He was at Chicago's Second City, and he performed with people like Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Amy Sedaris, and then he was the artistic director of the Second City Hollywood. And this gentleman is an absolute delight. He's highly entertaining. He also has a TED Talk about how to be able to embrace being in the here and the now. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk a little bit about his life, and then we go into the self-help. It is just a great time. Really enjoyed David. I know you guys will too. And I just wanted to say before we start, thank you. If this is your first time listening, you're a gem. If you're back for more after listening to a couple episodes, you're a gem. You're like a sapphire. Beautiful, brilliant, radiant. Love you. If you guys want to be able to support me further, if you haven't already, please leave a review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening. That'll help the robots understand that this is a good podcast, and it'll rise A Comedy Advice Podcast up in the charts, and so other people can see what I'm doing here, and then boop, 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 beep, boop, 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 beep, success. So thank you guys. And then also I have a link to my Patreon. If you guys want to join that, click on there. It's in the show notes, and you can support me financially so that I can make this a better podcast. And thank you for all of you guys that have done that already. You guys are, since we're on the gem line, you guys are like diamonds. Diamonds that I wear proudly, that I show all my friends, and I say, look, 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 patrons, yay. All right, that's enough. And support David. I have links there to be able to find him, to join his low impact mailing list, and then follow him on socials. So please support David. He is an awesome person. And that's all. Hope you guys enjoy the show.
A Comedy Advice Podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
to make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy Advice Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Comedy Advice Podcast. My name is Stefan Satani, and I'm your host. Joining me today is Eric Hughes.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you, buddy?
I'm hanging in there.
Groovy, man. Well, we've also got special co-host, recurring friend, Cam Sneed.
Hey, guys. Gang's all here. How you doing?
Were you trying to give a high five, or were you doing a slow motion, or what was
going
on?
It's a half rainbow.
Oh, a half rainbow. Okay. I really like your name. Is very simple. It's only two syllables, but the Sneed really brings out the vibrato when I say your name. Yeah. So
I've been told it's like, okay, yeah, we can move on. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. All right, very good. We're also joined by a very special guest. He's coming to us from the Zoom room. He's trained and performed at the Second City Chicago with the likes of Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, and more. He was the artistic director at the Second City Hollywood and has taught workshops and performed worldwide. Everybody, please welcome David Rozowski.
Thank you, Stefan. Hi, everybody. The Zoom room. High atop the building I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know why I went with Zoom room. I'm imagining like it.
We call it the Zoom room. My girlfriend and I, we call it the Zoom room. But yeah, I'll show you. This is the Zoom room. It looks like this. And here's the outside of the Zoom room. For those of you who are on radio, I'm showing that I've got a garden that has animals in it. And we've got a flying saucer in the back there. But you decided to listen, not watch it. So there you go.
There you go, exactly. And Cam just revealed, I think, a fin. Is that right? Little mer person Cam.
Yeah.
He is.
Oh, you guys saw that?
Yeah, that did slip. That did slip.
Cam, you got your name is like Cam Sneed, which I want to pronounce Cam's Need.
Cam's Need. Yeah, Cam's that works too.
What is Cam's Need, everybody? What's Cam's Need?
Or Cam's.
Sounds like a charity.
Yeah, it's just like give.
Camsneed.com.
Yeah, Camsneed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, Eric, I think it's an org.
I was going to say, yeah. Camsneed.org.
Cam's right. Kids.
Cam's Kids.
Can I get a .gov? What do I have to do to get a .gov?
You know what? You just asked for it. You got a .gov.
Oh, Camsneed.gov.
Or .edu.
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 Yeah.
.edu.
Depending on how you look at it.
.edu is, I mean, listen to the way that rolls off. .edu. David Rosowski. .edu. .edu. .edu sounds like an Ethiopian name.
.edu.
My friend. .edu.
It kind of does, yeah. .edu from Ethiopia.
Yeah, okay. That guy runs. Man, can he run?
That can be. I think that could be Cam's last name. Camsneed.edu, because Cam Sneed is almost like first name. But.
Yeah, Camsneed.edu.
He's gonna give Usain Bolt a run for his money.
All right, guys. Fine, I'll change my name.
Thank you.
I'll get Camsneed.edu.
Snot-edu. I don't know if you want to put snot-edu. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that might not be good. All right, we'll workshop it. But David,
I'm by the end now.
Thank you for joining the show. We wanted to talk a little bit about you, but first wanted to check in. How is everything going? It's been a tough time for everyone. We just want to check in on our guests.
Why has this been a tough time?
Is there something going on
that I don't know?
Well, we just learned that Cam is a mer person and he has an extra last name, so that's been tough for me specifically.
That has been tough. No, I got it.
Me too. It's news to me. How do you think I feel?
I feel like every day is it's what fresh hell, and every day is also how are you adapting? That's the question we need to ask everybody. Hey, how are you adapting? Because every day is like right now. In California, like where I am, I'm going to show you another picture. I'm sorry, I got to show you this, but it's 5:30 at 6 o'clock, and it has not been this smoggy in Los Angeles in 35 years. So that's where we are right now.
Wow.
But you know what we were talking about earlier, like there are benefits about what we're doing here. And again, it's how are you adapting? What new things is happening? I don't think we'd be having this conversation if it weren't for what we're going through right now. And so for me, that's a positive thing.
Yes, absolutely. For us as well. I mean, we may or may not have orchestrated this whole thing, but you know, just to get to you. But
I want
to
thank you and I want to punch you, but I first want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to punch you.
You sound like my wife now. That's
she told me to say that. I want to thank you. I want to punch you.
But anyway, wanted to talk a little bit about you. You've been doing improv for quite 50 years.
50 years. I've been doing theater for, I'm 61, so I've been doing theater for 51 years. Wow. And what's really interesting is last year I woke up one day and I went, oh, this is what I'm going to be when I grow up. You know what I mean? Like you're always going, I wonder what I'm going to be when I grow up. And then one day, this is going to happen to everybody. You're all going to realize that there's going to be a moment in your life where you're going to, this is what I'm going to be when I grow up. And this is what I'm going to be when I grow up. I mean, does that make sense?
Totally.
Meaning like you're sure, like you finally realize that this is what you want to do after trying it for.
It's too late to back up.
Isn't that true? What am I going to do? I'm a 61-year-old pasty white guy. What am I going to do? But keep doing what it is that I'm doing. And it's really become it's become an improvised life. And I'm really blessed in that I was born at the time that I was born. I hung out with the people I was able to hang out with. And I have a family that has always encouraged me to do what it is that I've wanted to do. And I think that's really important, you know, to have your peeps and to have your tribe behind you going, do this, do this, do this. And that's what I'm getting just from talking to y'all is it's you found your people for now. And these people that you found help you it's an existential experience. All year going, look what we're doing together. We're doing all these things together. We're existing together at this moment. We're experiencing these things together. And brought we the small amount of that we chatted before we went live. You guys, because you're guys, you're brave. And you're curious, and you're energetic, and you're focused, and you're courageous. And you would not be doing this if it weren't for that. I mean, think about it. You got to give yourself props. You got to deal with yourself with humor and compassion.
All right, fine, I'll do it.
Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
I'm not kidding. How often do you do that to say, you know what, I'm okay? Most of the time you're going, oh, I really fucked that up, or why did I do that, or I should have done that, or why did I do that, and that isn't as good. Well, you know what? You're always doing the best job that you can. So there we go.
That's beautiful. Well, that is beautiful. And thank you for allowing us to be able to give ourselves props. I know Cam might do it a little more than both of us, Eric and me. But,
oh, yeah. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, he had no reluctance, right? Yeah, whatsoever. But
Cam, you got to say, like, Cam, like, you might have to talk people into accepting that, right, Cam? Like,
yeah.
If you said to people,
you think it's hard here with these fins? I got to take time to clap whenever I possibly can, okay? That's pretty much all I can do.
I love it. I love it.
He goes, ooh, ooh.
It's one of Cam's needs.
There you go. There you go. I was going to ask too, because I know that you were just talking about, realizing this is what I want to do when I grow up. And I was listening to your podcast, ADD Comedy Podcast, and you've had some really cool people that you've had conversations with, one of which was Stephen Colbert. And you guys reminisced a little bit about your guys' time at the Second City. And one of the things that stood out to me was when he was talking about a moment, and he was with you performing, of when he realized that this is what he wanted to do for the rest of his life. And I wanted to, this is not about Stephen Colbert, this is about David Rozowski, this episode. So I wanted to ask you, if you guys want to hear about that moment, go to David Rozowski's podcast, ADD Comedy with Dave Rozowski. But wanted to ask you, Dave, has there been a moment or just series of moments or all your life that have just led you to think, this is what I am called to do and what I want to do for the rest of my life?
I remember when I was a kid, I think I might have been 10 or 11 or 12, and I must have been 13 or 14 or something, a teenager. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know how this came up, but I want to make a difference in people's lives. That's what I wanted to do. That was the focus. It wasn't that I want to be a teacher. It's I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. Now, hanging out with all these people who have become A-list actors, they always knew what they wanted to do. Steve Carell always knew that he wanted to be a movie star. Woman Jackie Hoffman always wanted to be a Broadway actress. Steve Colbert always wanted to be Steve Colbert. And that's what he became. So I was going through a lot of, what am I doing on this planet? Why am I here? And what I realized when I started doing the improvisation was, I found people that were working, that I was able to work with. I found people who we all together influenced each other. We made a difference in each other's lives. And as I started feeling that, I started to be drawn to a lot of teachers, improv teachers, who weren't teaching improv at that time. They were teaching theater at that time, because that's who taught improv. And one of the people that I came across was a guy named Martin DeMott, the late Martin DeMott. And what Martin had was a philosophical, spiritual bend to what it was that he was doing. And as time went on, I started to follow down that spiritual trail until I hit a book. I don't know, when I first started working at the Second, when I became the artistic director of Second City, I was thinking, I need something else. And I came across a book called Buddhism Plain and Simple by a guy named Steve Hagen. And what I realized was, that was the best improv book written by someone who has no idea that they wrote an improv book. And what it was is, it hit me at a certain place where it's like, this is what I've been looking for. I've been looking for that intersection between spirituality and improvisation. And what you realize as you keep doing this is, you realize that all improvisation is Buddhism. And it's just a matter of being present in the moment that you're dealing with. And when you're talking about stand-up, it's the same sort of thing, except you've got your 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever it's going to be. You are no more alive and present and alert than when you are trying new material out and you're listening to everything that somebody's saying and you're paying attention to where the beats are and you're paying attention to the tempo that you have and you're paying attention to the pauses that you have. And anytime, whatever it is that we're all doing right now is about realizing that we are alive at this moment and whatever the hell is happening, we are witnessing it. And so it wasn't a series of hold it, Cam. It wasn't like this epiphany that I had, but it was like, oh, that felt good. Oh, that felt good. Oh, that felt good. And then I just remembered what things kept feeling good. And here's another thing, just one more thing. I also remembered what didn't feel good. Like hanging out with that guy didn't feel good. And being in that improv company didn't feel good. And having that teacher didn't feel good. And you start going, you start winnowing away that which you don't like. And you start being attracted to that which brings you joy. I've been so lucky, man, like that I came into Second City at the time that I came into Second City. Look at the people that I'm working with, that I worked with. And we loved each other and we hated each other. And we worked and we did some awesome, stupid, wonderful work that I am so damn proud of.
You know? That is absolutely amazing. And I feel like as I was listening to you on your podcast and then on your TED Talk, where you talked about, and I think I wrote down some of these quotes because be present in the present and I will know what I need to know when I need to know what I need to know. All things about staying in the moment and really enjoying and relishing that moment or sitting in it as you had in your TED Talk. I'll have a link in the show notes, but I listened to a TED Talk a week. Because my company sends an email with TED Talks to keep our morale up and keep us from going insane. But yours was one of my favorite ones that I've listened to in a long time because I've been trying to achieve what you were teaching. And I've been doing it with meditation where they're saying, you know, breathe, be in the moment, etc. And then to have someone that is so creative and so, you know, bringing it with this dynamic, with this comedy interweaved in it, it just clicked for me in a better way where I thought, wow, this is exciting. This is my style. And I feel like this podcast is a nice example of me failing, recognizing, and then starting to get back into it because I remember the early episodes 1 through 5 are not public anymore because I would do this with my brothers. I did this with my two brothers and then I would record, I would edit. And then I'd be like, I wasn't really listening to what they were saying, was I? Nope, I wasn't. And I would completely go off and I was just waiting for my chance to say something. And then I'd go off and say it. And so through hearing myself, through a recording, I started to try and get better at that. I mean, I still don't listen to what Cam has to say, but that's for another reason. But no, totally kidding, Cam.
Get in line.
Get in line.
But I think it's beautiful.
Well, but so those things that you perceive as failures weren't really failures at all. They were lessons wrapped up in a different thing. And the thing about that TED Talk that I had was there was an event that was in that TED Talk, and I'm going to spoil it, where I just humiliated myself in front of thousands and thousands of people. And I looked at it and I went, okay, that happened. What am I going to do with that? Because I can't undo that. And those are the spiritual journeys that those are the and so we want our life to be joyous and happy and all the time. But you know what? That's not how life is. So when you are experiencing something like doubt, experience the doubt, live in the doubt. That doubt is going to lead you to something else. When you're joyful, experience the joyfulness, but know that both of those are containers that will eventually have nothing in them. And what ends up happening is you get something else. And this too will pass, man. That's one thing I know. Whatever it is that you're going through, this too will pass. The shitty things are going to pass. The good things are going to pass too. That meal that you like, it's going to be done. That booze that you like drinking, it's going to be empty. That person you like kissing, she's going to be gone. You know, like those sort of things that are happening. Yeah. That toothache that you have, that will eventually be gone as well. But all of these are experiences that we get to experience in the moment. And again, it's an improv lesson, but it's really a life lesson. But it's not just an improv lesson. It's any artist's lesson. Any artist is going through that same sort of thing. the idea of how do I take what it is that's happening in this moment and make it my own? And the best way that you can do that is to be honest. Do I like this being here? Do I not like this being here? What's my relationship to what's happening in this moment?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so, I know you talked about it too with, you were, before we opened up this part where you're saying, I've recognized the bad moments where I didn't like hanging out with this person or I didn't like doing this. And I think that's super important. And it's something that I am working on too, where there are these moments where I might feel bored or I might not feel pleasant. And I also, I swear, I don't usually take quotes from people and then recite them here. But another one that you had was, people like to feel in the present when things are pleasant. And I think you're absolutely right like with that. And it sucks with having cell phones and social media and stuff where these distractions can take you away from the moments that aren't present that you really should be paying attention to recognize.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying. And I really get that too, you know, and I'm always very aware of the word should, because, you know, don't should on yourself. So it's that feeling of, it's the feeling of, are you enjoying what you're doing? Are you enjoying what you're doing? Then fucking do it, man. If that's what you're like, if you want to look at your phone, look at your phone. If you're getting something out of it, get something out of it. If you realize, oh, you know, I'm looking at my phone, but oh, I'm standing at the Grand Canyon. Okay, the moment that you realize you're standing at the Grand Canyon, put your phone away and look at the Grand Canyon for a minute. You know what's not going to happen? Grand Canyon's not going to go away. You get to look at the Grand Canyon, then look at your phone again, take a picture of the Grand Canyon, look at your picture. You know, live your life and don't let anybody tell you what, you know, that you're doing that wrong.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good point. I like that. I'm going to take that quote too. Do whatever the fuck you want. And if you like it,
But here's the, you know, but there's also stuff, and there's the idea of like what other people think of you is none of your business. You know, that idea. And that's the greatest gift that you can give yourself, because if somebody's saying to you, you're really looking at your phone a lot, you know, what's going on there? It's like, I don't have to tell you.
Yeah. I like my phone.
I like what's happening. I like my phone. I like what I'm doing. I like what I'm looking at. And you have no idea what I'm doing on my phone. You know, what I could be doing at that moment is donating money to some cause, or can be helping a student who has a question, or I could be playing words with friends, or I could be, you know, I could like do all those things. Mind your own fucking business.
unless you're at a show. Then stay off your phone, right?
No.
Well, yeah.
Theater or like.
Yeah, I mean, Cam, that's true too. But that's about
at least my show.
Yeah.
I thought sure. Cam, you meant you being the performer, stay off your phone if you're at a show. Okay, I get it. Be the recipient.
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh God. So, 50 years you've been doing this. You were a director, and now you're teaching workshops. How has the teaching been? Because it sounds like, from what you said earlier, what you want to do in life is help people, and so I feel like this is a great way of being able to do that. Have there been moments where there's been a lot of frustration, or it seems like it's difficult to teach?
Yeah.
Or...
Well, let me just say, what I teach is very different than what the average improv teacher teaches. What the average improv teacher teaches, I mean, what's the term that most people use when you hear improv? What is the word? I mean, what's the phrase?
Yes,
what's the most important thing in it? Yeah, I don't teach that. I teach say no, ask questions, deny, talk about people who aren't there. Don't be specific at the beginning of a scene. Connect through an emotional connection that you have. If the scene is vague, then let the scene be vague. I'm all about the emotional connection in that, because I look at a lot of improvisers, and you know, I was the artistic director of Second City for 11 years. I've traveled all around the world teaching people, and there are a lot of lessons in improvisation, because there are a lot of people teaching that yes and, but they don't really know what that means. And I don't want to get too into the weeds on this one. So all that I'm going to say is, I have been getting pushback about what I'm teaching, because I'm teaching you. Oh, what I'm teaching you is how to be a human being. I think most people don't like improvisation because you know why people don't like improvisation to watch a show? It sucks. Most of it is fucking horrible. If you told me that if you say, I'm doing a play, I'm like, I'm going to go see your play. But if you got, I got a show that I'm going, I'm doing an improv show. It's like, nope, I'm not going to go to your dumb improv show. I guarantee you it's going to be crap. And it's going to be crap because the 9 people up there that are all wearing shitty like T-shirts, ratty pants, I'm spending $35, you know, parking, food, drinks, and you're up there and it looks like you just got off of a basketball game. You know, let's be professional and let's do our work. And so I sit in an audience and I watch most improvisation. I'm thinking, those people don't even know that they're on stage. And they're like, you, Stefan, when you were doing this at the beginning, they're just waiting for somebody else to shut up so they can do a dumb joke.
Right. Right.
And I say that with total respect, man. You know, I say that with total respect. Because my feeling is those people don't know what it is that they're doing. And that might be me as the old man, you know, hey, you kids, get off my lawn. That music that you listen to is noise. But it could also be this. Are you liking what you're doing? Are people coming to your shows? Because I'm surprised that if both of those answers are yes.
Yeah.
So you sound like... You sound like you're like a mix of improv and theater. Was that what you would say? Like,
well,
you're kinda...
Yeah. I mean,
obviously.
God, sorry, Cam. Go ahead.
Well, I was just not. I don't mean like improvisation. I mean like improv comedy, like the style form of a show improv, and like traditional theater. Is that kind of what you try to combine?
Yeah. I'm doing what's called long form improv. And long-form improv isn't concerned with getting a laugh out, ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. It's more about the relationship between the two people. It's more about, because when I go to an improv show and I see this, I see an emotion, I see a relationship between the two people, what I want to do is I want to watch both of them volley back and forth their emotional epiphanies and not be clever and not do puns and not go for the joke, but realize that the humor comes from you being honest in the moment that you're honest. And that's where the humor comes from. And that's the humor that you remember. You know, you remember somebody saying something that shocks you. Chappelle shocks you, you know. These people that, you know, these people that just grab you and you go, oh, I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. You know?
Yeah.
Like real human beings, you know?
Yeah.
I love real shit. Talk about the real shit. Let's get emotional, guys.
Well, but here's the thing, Cam. If you're up there and you're talking about your life and you're talking about what's going on in your life, I'm going to watch it. But if you're up there, you know, making puns and making jokes and talking about, you know, other things, I'm like, all right, these are jokes. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
I like that.
But you also have to find out who you are through making those mistakes, through, you know, winnowing away that which isn't, you know, to find out who the hell you are. So there's a lot of people who are going to do shitty stuff for a while. But after a while, they're going to realize what they're doing.
Damn.
I wish I was passionate about this stuff. I don't know. One day.
I know. I wish you'd have a little more energy and pizzazz in your voice.
Someday you'll find your dream.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Cam.
Oh, man. Well, David, this has been amazing. I was going to say, do you have any workshops coming up? I think I saw one in October.
I have one in October at the Improv in DC, but that was sold out. So if people go I've had a very good pandemic, y'all. It's been a really good
for you. That's awesome.
So most of the workshops that I do sell out pretty quickly, so I'm really excited about that. If people go to and you can link this up just my website and just hit just go to my website and you'll see some of the things that I've got going on, and you can also sign up for what I call my low impact mailing list, which means I probably will never mail you anything.
Nice.
That's my low impact mailing list. But yeah, I've got that.
Get on the knees. And
so what I'm this weekend, which is probably will be gone by the time the universe hears this. I'm working with a group of people called the Vintage Improv Festival, and they're all improvisers over 50. And it's been really wonderful to work with these people. And we've got I've got workshops coming up this weekend that are sold out, and I've got a show, a few shows that we're doing, and it's just been a fantastic time, because so many people can take improv lessons from everybody literally all around the world, something that couldn't happen before. I literally have a million frequent flyer miles from the amount of flying that I used to do when I was, you know, up until March. And now I'm working with people literally all over the world. And it's really a golden time for improv.
That's amazing.
Improv, you know, and again, just people no seeing you from your chest up. Again, not knowing if you're a centaur or not.
Right.
That's Cam's joke. Cam or Eric's?
It's Eric's joke.
It's Eric's joke. Eric's joke. I'm giving you credit, man.
Come try it out.
Giving you credit.
Thank you. Nice.
Today's episode is presented by State Bags. State Bags makes beautiful, well-made, inclusively cool products while using the power of business to give back, to shift the narrative around social injustice. For every State Bag purchase, State Hand delivers a backpack packed with essential tools for success to an American child in need. But their commitment goes beyond simply a material donation. State Bags has your back, and part of that commitment is making a difference in local kids' lives. To get you ready for your commute or wherever you're traveling next, State is offering my listeners 15% off their next purchase at statebags.com using the code POD. That's 15% off your next purchase using the code POD at statebags.com. State Bags, they have your back. Well, thank you so much, David. We're going to go into the self-help portion of the podcast, and we're going to answer some questions. But before we do, we like to inspire ourselves with a nice quote, a motivational quote. So before I get into the one we have, I usually like to ask our guests if they have any inspirational quotes that help get them through their dark days.
Well, I mentioned it before. It's the idea of this too will pass.
Yeah.
And what that means is realize what's going on, breathe through it, and know that this is not going to be the rest of your life.
Just sit
in it. And one more quote that was my mom's quote, I think, which is when you're. And this is something that I think is really important. You can't change the color of someone's eyes. And what that means is whatever it is that they're holding on to and they're stuck to and they're dealing with, that's what they're dealing with at that moment. And you just, you know, you got to step away from it, knowing some people will get it and some people won't. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's a deep quote. I like both of those.
Yeah, a lot.
You can use both of those or none of those.
I'm going to add it to my pin board of all of David Verzowski's quotes that I have.
Yeah. We already covered this portion through Stefan.
Yeah. Oh, God. I hope you don't think I'm creepy. I'm like, I have these five quotes from All right.
He's got your face printed out.
Oh, and and one more thing. I have a book that's coming out. So all those quotes will probably be in the book. Tentatively titled A Subversive's Guide to Improvisation. Right now, we're coming up to the point we're going to be publishing it within the next month. So I'm really excited about that. And if anybody wants more information about that or to put it on my low impact mailing list, you'll discover some things from there. So now we're back into here we go. That's the quote.
Yeah, glad we didn't miss that one. That's a big one.
Yeah, book. Awesome. Well, those are great quotes. We're a little ashamed to bring our quote because it's not by a person per se. It's actually by a robot, and it's called InspiroBot. And what it does is it uses AI to generate take some of the wisest words known to man and just mash them together so vehemently and produce a quote for us. So we're going to try and decipher this one. Eric is usually our good InspiroBot interpreter. So, Eric, would you read this week's InspiroBot quote from our fan, Claudia, that she provided for us?
This week's interpretation. Encourage honesty by frightening strangers.
Encourage honesty by frightening strangers.
Encourage honesty by frightening strangers.
Oh, God. It just reminds me of like a police station where they're trying to interrogate somebody. And so they've got good cop and bad cop. So he's encouraging the honesty by yelling at the soul that's being interrogated. That was the first thing that popped into my mind.
The first thing that popped into my head was I'm a masker. I like wear my mask and I'm one of those mask Nazis. And I walk down the street and I will say to strangers, excuse me, sir, would you put your mask on? And I said to one guy, excuse me, sir, would you put your mask on? And he went, fuck you. Did you hear me? And I was like, oh. So at that moment, I got his honesty at that moment. I think I frightened him and I got his honesty. But that is that's a great phrase. That's a great quote. Scare the shit out of people and make them say what they have to say.
That is great. Yeah. And you know what? I was actually wondering about the best way to ask somebody to put their mask on. I don't know if I found that solution from that, but at least I got the honesty part.
Yeah, for me, I feel like just ask, and if they're into it, they're into it, and if they're not, they're not. And
that's fair.
Well, my main reason is to shame them. So there we go.
Yes. Thank you. It's a public service.
It's more for you than for anything,
huh?
Oh my God! But that's not what life is about. This is all more for me than about you. So there we go. Deal with it. This is my life, and you guys are co-stars. Thank you.
Right. Right.
Oh God! It would be even better if you brought a mask for them that just said "shame" on it, or like a scarlet letter.
Believe me, I've been thinking about having this mask. But anyway, I love that. I love that quote. Can I hear it again, Eric, in the dulcet tones that you said it?
Oh sure.
Yeah.
Encourage honesty by frightening strangers.
Nice, good read, dude. That's really good.
I love the emphasis on frightening.
Frightening.
That was really
frightening.
Good.
I love frightening. It.
There's that E right there.
Oh, yeah, don't neglect the E.
Don't.
That's my motto.
Don't neglect the E. Don't neglect the E.
That's Eric's inspirational quote. But
yeah. Oh, because Eric is an E name.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Not like those assholes who spell it with an A.
Oh my God. Eric.
Eric.
Eric. Eric.
I've never seen that, but
I don't think that's a person, Eric. I think that you're looking for someone to hate, and you just Eric.
Maybe
Eric.
I think you're confusing it with Aaron and Aaron, because there are A Aarons and E Aarons, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
There are.
Yeah. And there's A Rons.
Oh, Aaron. A Aaron.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh. About that. Isn't that one of the greatest sketches ever?
Yeah.
Ever.
So good. So
oh
good.
My God.
Ever. For some reason it's so impressionable that you just like can't get it out of your head.
I worked with Keegan I was his director when he was in Detroit, and what a mensch. Wow. Man, what a mensch. Keegan is such a mensch. And I worked with Jordan Peele when I was directing Boom Chicago in Amsterdam, and I met Jordan there. Wow. The guy that wrote that, Rich Tellerico, is a Second City alum, and that is one of the classic comedy sketches. We're talking about Key and Peele's Substitute Teacher. Is that right, Cam? Is that what
it's
called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What was that? What was the name of that writer?
Rich Tellerico. Tellerico. Talerico. Rich Tellerico.
I don't know if that's good enough.
he's written some great things. He's just a really great writer and a really good man. And again, I go back to, I can't believe all the wonderful people I've had an opportunity to work with. But yeah, Aaron. Awesome. Aaron. Oh, come on, Keegan, you know, international superstar. International, like, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
Well, incredible.
Now that we're all inspired, I think mostly from the Key and Peele, let's move on to the questions. We've got our first question. This is from Reddit. It's found by our fan, Kim. Thank you, Kim. Says, got a sloppy tattoo from a reputable artist. Advice? I got a tattoo from a reputable artist with a great portfolio about 2 weeks ago. I paid on the higher end. It didn't come out bad. The line work in one particular area is awful, though. Shaky and scratchy and just so obviously messed up. It's been pointed out to me constantly. There's also a spot where it goes outside the lines. I'm just so heartbroken because I want to love this piece, but I can't. I'm a mix of pissed and sad, but I'm not sure exactly what to do. Any advice helps. Thanks with a heart. And that's sincerely by Ink Stinks. So guys.
Stefan, would you read the beginning of that again? Because there's so much bullshit in the beginning of that I'm losing my mind. Okay? Now listen to what she's saying. Go, read it. And I'll tell you when to stop.
I got a tattoo from a reputable artist with a great portfolio about 2 weeks ago. I paid on the higher end. It didn't come out bad.
Okay, I'll stop there. It came out bad, honey. It came out bad. You're not happy with it. Admit that it sucks. And just because everything that you said past that point is it's outside of lines. It's sloppy. It's not what you wanted. Hopefully it's not in her face. So it's like all those things I'm thinking you are living in denial, honey, because you've got a shitty tattoo. and yeah. you aren't accepting it. And the only source of suffering is non-acceptance. God. You know what you do? That's what you do. And this is what I would do if I were her. I would have another tattoo artist point an arrow and say, this is a shitty tattoo, and make that tattoo that makes that tattoo work. Because there's no other way to make that tattoo
work. That's a
work
great idea.
Taking it, you know, just taking it, having it removed.
Just perfect fine line letters. The most best tattoo you could possibly get, saying this is a shitty tattoo.
Pointing out one tattoo. Of these.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would.
Oh such yeah.
A good idea.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea. What?
I got so many questions about that though. Yeah. What is it a tattoo of? How big is that the tattoo? Where's the right. tattoo? Because all right. those things, yeah, it could be a between the boobs tattoo. Is that what you're doing there, Eric?
Like just the classic, like a chest tattoo.
A chest tattoo.
Between the boobs if you need it.
Between the boobs if you need it, you know, between the boobs if you got them. Yeah. But where's the tattoo? Because
that's what I was thinking is like, depending on where it's at, maybe you could just get a bigger tattoo over it and just cover it. But if it's your whole chest already, then that's kind of hard to do.
Right. It sounds to me like she has, I also believe that this isn't the worst move that she's made in her life. I bet there's a lot of things where it's like, why did I have that baby? Or why did I buy that house? I was told there'd be mermaids.
I bought a house. It's not bad per se, but I just can't live in it.
Right. The windows are off. Well, they're not really windows. They're holes in the wall.
Jutted out. Yeah.
Right. And the neighborhood isn't bad. I mean, it's on train tracks.
Anytime you hear someone say that, you automatically think it's, you're like, oh, this person's lying.
Well, for me, it's also whenever somebody says, you know, I really like this, don't get me wrong. If they say, don't get me wrong part, it's like, no, you really don't like it.
Yeah.
Just admit that you don't like it. Just admit that you fucked up, you got a bad tattoo, and you're going to have to live with it.
I think that's the first part.
And also find out where this human got their tattoo. You know, at what point? I don't care who they got it from.
I'm gonna guess.
Do you anybody here of these three gentlemen have a tattoo?
No.
All right.
Yeah, I have a few tattoos.
Well, maybe on my centaur legs, but other than that, no.
I got a piece of pencil lead stuck in my hand from the third grade. Does that count?
Oh yeah, me too. Look, can you see it?
Yeah, it's ink, dude. It's kind of ink. I went to a barber. This is going to be a long. I went to a barber and he's cutting my hair, and he was in a boy band at one time, and now he's a barber in LA because LA. And he's cutting my hair, and I said, and we're talking, and he was telling me about this gig that he got, that, you know, their truck broke down and they were in a small town and they had no way of getting anywhere, and this guy drove by who was able to give him a ride into town, and he was a tattoo artist, and they all decided, let's get a tattoo. And they were like, we'll get this guy to give us a tattoo. And I said, where's your tattoo? And he goes, And so he took. I have to look at this because I have to make sure that I'm doing this right. He took. Wait, hold it. She'll set through. He did this. He went.
Oh my God!
Took his lip and it said, like "giddy up" or something.
He had a tattoo that's dope.
That said "giddy up" on his lip. Like right now, everybody, I'm showing, I'm taking my lip, pulling it down, and it was like giddy up, and I'm like, giddy up?
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
Oh God. Wow.
If people
didn't believe him when he said he was a cowboy, he's like, oh yeah? Giddy up, Marlon.
Yeah.
Giddy
up. Yeah. All cowboys have giddy up. Yeah. Giddy up.
This is our brand. This is where we brand ourselves.
Yeah, and then on the top it's like, I'm a cowboy. Giddy up.
Yeah.
People were like, the giddy up, I don't know. That you gotta have the introductory, I'm the cowboy.
The upper lip. The upper lip is like the introduction. It's like, I'm a cowboy. Giddy up.
Yeah. And then a horse neighing on the tongue.
Oh my
Anyone
god!
Ever got
yeah.
a tattoo on the tongue?
Yeah. Tattoo. A tongue tattoo.
Oh yeah. Man,
that's... you have to like you probably don't lose all your taste buds, right?
Just the good ones. Yeah, you can
or
probably
the ones
taste.
Are just
yeah.
permanently filled Pickles. With ink.
Yeah. Yum. Yeah. Now all risottos taste like they have squid ink in them because it's just.
Go get tongue tattoos.
I God. Bet someone has a tongue tattoo. I will
oh,
bet
for sure.
has a tongue tattoo.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Maybe this person here, because if maybe that's the type of person they are.
I feel like maybe that person who got that tattoo, it might have been her first tattoo.
Yeah.
Right.
I think she got it in a very public place too, like her forearm, or I mean, if she dresses a little more provocative, maybe like Eric said, between the boobies, because she said a lot of people comment on it. So either she's sleeping with a lot of people, which we're not judging, but it could be that a lot of people are seeing her naked, or people could be passing by and
wear that deep V-neck.
She's frightening them with honesty, where they're like, oh.
Oh,
that tattoo's not bad.
Nice callback. Nice callback, Stephanie. Nice callback.
Why does it look like Gumby having a seizure?
Boom.
So, anyway, I think to Cam's point, well, to David's point, be honest with yourself. Be like, it's a shitty tattoo. Because once you get to that point, then you're going to realize I either can do something about it or I can highlight it even more and just make that a part of my being because I am proud of my mistakes. It's not a failure. It's just a lesson packaged up poorly with some ink. Or you could do like Cam said, and you could just, you could make it a little better, have another tattoo on top of it. And it's like the tattoo never happened.
Yeah.
So
the tattoo that never happened.
Yeah.
It's like a tattoo that never happened.
Now there's just a big... black square over it. But you'll never know.
Just do your whole body, just that tone. Yeah. So you're committing fully.
People have done that. Oh, you should look that up. That's weird.
I want another guy that where at this other place, at the same place where I got my haircut. He had it all, man. He had the face. He had the neck. He had it all. And I was like, wow.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to judge, but I will say this. Your life is fucking over. But I'm not judging.
The resume destroyers.
Oh, that's exactly it.
Yeah,
he's a barber.
Yeah, I feel like tattoos.
You're getting a haircut from him.
Yeah, I feel like tattoos are also, I never got a tattoo, so I don't know how much they cost. But I feel like if you covered your whole body in tattoos, that's got to be tens of thousands of dollars? Question mark?
Oh, yeah.
Unless you know a guy.
Sure. I think one little, unless you know a guy who doesn't fill in the lines, but but it's that feeling of, oh, you can get a little one that costs probably $8,000. I don't know how much that tattoo costs. How much is
it? Yeah, depending on how good you want it. And even then, it might not turn out good.
You have a feeling you get what you pay for.
Yeah, she thought this was a good artist, like a reputable, like had a bunch of followers on Instagram or something probably, and it's still... That sucks. She probably paid a lot of money too.
Man.
If it's truly a reputable artist, they should be able to go back and get them to at least attempt to fix whatever the fuck is going on with it.
She goes back and messes it up even more.
Oh, you think this is bad?
Yeah. Oops,
no,
did the whole arm.
No.
Oh God. Well,
no,
yeah.
No,
but you're
no.
Yeah. Anyway, good luck. Whoever you are.
Good luck.
We're going to move on to the next segment of our podcast. And this segment is celeb advice. This is where we give advice to celebs. Maybe we take their actions as examples. We'll figure it out. But we have this juicy gossip that comes from the HuffPost. The title is Channing Tatum wrote a children's book about dad-daughter love. So before we get into it, we like to take this time and ask our guests and go around and do some celeb impressions. But David, can you do any celeb impressions that you would like to showcase for this?
when I saw that you did this portion, I'm like, this is not going to be, this is going to be my lesson. This is how I'm going to, no, I don't know. I do one. And
oh,
I do one celebrity impression and it's really good. But it's so obscure. It's really, No one else is doing it.
So you could do it, and then everybody will look it up later and be like, oh, wow, that guy was amazing.
They can look it up later, and they can go, that's a narrow talent. So have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The movie. All right. There's a guy in it, Mr. Potter, Lionel Barrymore. All right. How many people in the world are doing Lionel Barrymore impersonations now? Well, there's Dave Rosask.
Right. It's right funny here. You mentioned, because we also had that one lined up. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Do I do it now?
Yes, please. Take it away.
Okay, please.
Right. Lionel Barrymore getting a tattoo. No, or whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Oh, well, I'm gonna do what he's known for. You know, I'm not going to go, you know. So,
oh, yeah. Everybody knows.
All right, there's the scene where it's like, so Lionel Barrymore is yelling at what's his name? The star of the movie. Anyway, so everybody,
Jimmy,
right now,
Jimmy Stewart.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Stewart. Like, I had that brain fart. So this is it. So it's him. It's Lionel Barrymore yelling at Jimmy Stewart, like, you once called me a warp frustrated old man. What are you but a warp frustrated young man? Lionel Barrymore.
That was great.
Well done. Well done.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You knocked Cam's screen off. That was so good.
Lights out.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Oh. That was great. One more follow-up question.
I don't know if it's accurate, but it sounds like it is, and I will look it up later to confirm.
Please look it up later, Cam.
How did you find out, David, that you could do that impression?
I don't know. It's the same way that I figured out I could do the sound of a wine pouring into a glass. Are you ready for this?
Yes, please.
Right. Here we go.
Oh my god! Oh my god! That's amazing!
Right?
I
want to get that looked at.
I have no idea. I don't know. All that I know is one day I woke up and was like, and
that's a natural talent, huh?
The only way that that would be any cooler is if you had a tattoo that was like, "Cheers." Right there, as you did it.
Yeah, right. For me, it would be L'chaim. L'chaim.
That is amazing, though. That's really cool. God. Wow.
I guess that's an impersonation of a rosé going into a glass. So that was an impersonation.
Yeah. I could tell it was rosé.
That was beautiful. Yeah, 2017, yeah, Napa Valley. Very nice.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah.
Right. That's great. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, David. Those were wonderful impersonations. Eric, do you have any new ones this week that you'd like to share?
I don't have any new ones, but I'm inspired now to go after the low-hanging fruit of a Jimmy Stewart impression. I'm gonna go for it now.
Oh,
not
please.
Right now. Not right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I'm going to consider it. Okay. And good. Then David and I can go on the road and we can, once things open back up and we can do these scenes.
Definitely. Scenes from movies that no one cares about anymore. Like none of it. And none of it. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. We're going to do the entire Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It's like, why? Why? Why?
We could
why?
Use that right now, though.
We could, right? We could.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, not a bad choice in my joking.
Yeah, that is good.
All right. So Eric, when you do that, we can both do those. We can do that scene from It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Yeah, do it.
I was going to try and actually pursue, not now, but at a later time, a rosé bottle popping. So that, or a champagne bottle popping. So then you and I could do like the, I guess you don't need me. I don't know what I'm going to do anymore.
Nope, I don't know.
Step up your game, son.
Oh man. God. All right. Well, I'm going to pass to Cam. Do you have any celeb impressions or beverages being poured that you can do impressions of?
I can do a can opening. It's specifically a lemonade Truly can. Yeah. Ready?
Oh, Beautifully orchestrated. Our listeners are going to be none the wiser. That's what you get for not watching the video that we don't publish. So,
I thought it was like a cheers. My bad.
That was good.
Oh, yeah, me too. I have one.
That was great.
And you can fake pour it too. And if you want, I can be there for that one.
Amazing. All right. We're going to get into the article. Eric, if you wouldn't mind reading it with those, bringing back those dulcet tones. But
sure.
Crank it from Inspirobot to really excited celebrity goss announcer.
But first, who's got the Channing Tatum impression?
Oh, I'll go for it. I don't know. I think I'm just going to come across as a douche. Like, douche. Yeah, douchey white.
That'll be perfect. Thank you.
Like myself, I guess. I don't know.
I thought you're already doing it. Yeah.
I've been doing it the whole time. This is me.
All right.
From the burn.
Channing Tatum wrote a children's book about a dad-daughter love. Channing Tatum just shared his favorite role to date, being a dad, and he's adding children's book author to his resume too. The 40-year-old actor produced and directed on Monday announced that his first children's book, The One and Only Sparkella, will be published. The book, according to its website, is a charming ode to self-esteem and the love between a father and daughter.
Guys, I don't know about you, but things got a little weird for me in quarantine.
Channing wrote in his announcement Monday,
I ended up accidentally locking myself in my 7-year-old daughter's room, and I ended up finding my inner child. So this is what I created for my little girl. From what it is, I guess, the little girl in me.
He adds,
this is also for all dads that might have a little girl. Wear whatever, dance however, and be as magical as you can, because I promise they will return the love. And that's it. I think that's the end.
That was the end.
Oh, there you go. That's a good way to end it. You know, you never don't. You always end an article on whatever Channing Tatum says.
That's true. Even okay. Where we were supposed to prompt it with a question asking for advice, it just ended with what Channing Tatum said.
Channing Tatum. Okay, remind me what we're supposed to be doing right now, because I got a bunch of fucking comments about this.
This is a good time to add the comments in, because I don't know what advice we can give to Channing Tatum.
Oh, this isn't advice. I mean, for me, like, right, I accidentally locked myself in my 7-year-old daughter's room. Like, what? Why would you lock the door? Like, what's the purpose? You know how a door lock works? Are you familiar? Like, you have to do the maneuver to lock the door. And if you're in there accidentally locking the door, how do you accidentally lock the door? 2, 3, a million questions way down the line. What was your intention going in there in the first place? Were you hiding there? What were you doing there?
And I, you know what they didn't leave in there was the detail of how long he spent locked in there. I bet it was probably a good month and he couldn't figure out how to get out. And then, yeah, well, he found his daughter's crayons, the 8-pack of Crayola, and he was like, book, when he came out. So they're like, I guess we should publish this because Channing Tatum
made
it.
He wrote a book.
His daughter's the ghostwriter.
What is the book about? Did it say, did I miss that part?
It's a charming
ode to self-esteem and the love between a father and daughter.
That's not what it's about. That's the theme of it.
So, you know what I his mean? Daughter.
That's not what it's about.
That's true. That's very true. And the title is called The One and Only Sparkella. How do we feel about the name of Sparkella?
It sounds like Spunkella. And that's not something you should talk about with your daughter.
Yeah, that's like a teenage book or above, I think.
Once someone should have said Channing, but his name's Channing, so you know any name is he's dealing with a Channing name.
that's true.
Sparkella, but we don't know. So I got a lot. I have more questions too. But the big question is, how do you lock yourself in that room? How long were you there? And did he say the little girl in all of us?
The little girl in all of us. That's right.
Can you read that line?
The little girl in me.
Oh, this the is... little girl in me.
Yes. 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 That's true. Yep. Yep. So I created this for my little girl, from what it is, I guess, the little girl in me. Maybe he spent longer than a month. I think Channing Tatum has lost his mind. I mean, whatever mind he had left, it's just.
So you think he spent longer than a month locked in his daughter's bedroom?
Maybe. Maybe. <Effectively. clears throat> And he found all Channing, the snacks under the bed, and so he was able to survive on that. But I feel like he was in there long enough. It's like solitary confinement for Channing Tatum. And his daughter's probably a lot more independent than Channing is, since he can't get out of a daughter's bedroom. So, I mean, God.
I think this is just a ruse. You know what? I think he truly wanted to write a legit book. And then they came back and they're like, this is fourth grade reading level. We're going to have to send you daughter. This is okay. This is a children's book. Now we're going to have to tell. And I, you know what? I bet he didn't even illustrate it.
Oh, no, he did not illustrate it. No, he did not illustrate it. No.
Did not this is just a money grab.
Clearly, this is a PR move. And so he's, how old is this story?
Pretty fresh. The story?
Uh-huh.
I think it's about a week old.
So the book isn't out yet. He wrote it during quarantine.
Yes.
Cam's got it pre-ordered. He knows.
Yeah. Regardless of what you guys say, I'm actually really excited for this book because I have a lot of self-esteem issues. So if you don't mind, I'm picking it up.
I want to know more about this story. And I also want to know, a friend of mine wrote a book, but he told me I wrote a book, but what he really wrote was a pamphlet. You know, it's not like, sorry, this isn't a book.
Was it it's trifold? Not long enough
to be a, it's basically like two trifolds stapled together. It's like, you did not write a book. You wrote a pamphlet. And it's maybe just an amalgamation of blurbs.
You can tell by the bullet points.
It's not a book. It's not a book. And so I want to know how long his book is. And was it optioned yet? So that's another LA thing.
They're going to play Sparkella in the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Sparkella.
Sparkella. That sounds like a rap name to me. Sparkella and like baby.
Sparkella. Like a ripoff from Cinderella.
Or Sparkella Fitzgerald.
Oh, nice. You know what, David? We might have to have you come back when we have this ordered and shipped to our house, and we'll do a reading.
Yeah.
Wait. Did I just discover that you all live together when you say our house?
We're all in different rooms, but we actually hate each other. We can't stand each other, but we get together for the podcast. We get together for the guests. It's like the kids. We're like, you know what? Let's just pretend like we love each other, and then we hang up afterwards.
We're doing it for the kids.
We are. Channing.
Yeah. Stephen, when you said we're supposed to be giving advice, like what advice are we supposed to give people from this book? I'm not really. It's for Channing.
Yeah.
The advice
Any
for
PR
me.
PR moves.
Channing,
good PR moves.
Here's the advice. Don't lock the door.
You probably need to childproof Channing Tatum's house.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if his daughter locked him in there. He didn't even actually. Right. His daughter was like, "Oops, Daddy, I can't open the door."
Or it's got one of those. You put it over the handle so it just spins, and the kid can't open it.
Right. It's childproof, but it's really Channing proof.
Yeah.
We Channing proof the room. We clearly Channing proof the room. This room has been Channing proofed from the inside. It's coming from the inside. Yeah. and I wonder if the family even noticed that he was gone.
They're like, yeah, does life seem better to you? I mean, I know we're in a pandemic, but
yeah.
This is the third book he wrote this way.
And then he came
locked in his son's room, locked in the neighbor's son's room.
Locked in the car.
Locked in the car.
Dog locked him out. Oh God!
It's the Tatum Channing series. Locked in the.
Locked in the. That's what it is.
So there was a series of crime novels where it was like A is for adultery, right? B is for blood. C is for whatever, Chicago.
Crime.
And this would, right, a crime. And this would be locked in the closet, locked in the car, locked in the museum, locked in the bathroom.
Wow. This is actually kind of a good idea.
Channing Tatum's book, yeah.
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 It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think if we do it from the perspective of like a four-year-old, it could make for some really ripe reading. I love it. All right. Well, good. I feel like we've given Channing some good advice. So anything else before we move on?
I want to apologize to Channing for not knowing anything about him at all. I don't know anything about him at all. And this is, again, old man. My girlfriend has her finger on the pulse of what's going on with most of the world. So I would go, who is he? It's a he, right?
Yes, that's right.
It's a he. Who is he? And she'd say, yeah, you're not going to know him. It's like, okay, great. All right, great.
I'm sure Channing's got other preoccupations on his mind. Like, he's probably locked in another room right now. So I'm sure.
And here's another thing. I don't think he knows who the fuck I am, so fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I like the turnaround.
You've never seen Step Up? You've never seen Step Up?
Nope.
Magic Mike?
Nope.
I unfortunately...
You guys are just making up words now. You're just making up titles.
Oh.
Hike the Boundary?
Fantastic Mr. Goober?
Sparkella? Sparkella 2? <Right? laughs>
Yeah. Sparkella 2.
All right. All right.
I guess
well,
two Sparkella, you and two Furious. Don't cross paths, huh?
Two Sparkella, two Furious. God, I'd love to see Vin Diesel in that one. That would be amazing.
He's the titular character.
That's a good word, Eric. That's really a good word. That's a good titular. Word.
Good on you, Eric. Good job, Eric.
Yeah.
It's on my calendar today.
All right, guys. Well, this
you could have just let us think that you knew that word this whole time, you know?
Yeah.
A good word. It's a really good word. And if you're as you are, Eric, if you're in the music industry, that's his titular album. And we know that it just has his name in it, right? That's what titular means?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, all right, good.
Titular being title character.
Mm-hmm.
Titillating.
Yeah.
But yes, this
I
has
don't
been
think,
titillating.
I don't think a lot of people know what titular means. That's all.
I did not. I did. That was like one of the, well, maybe it, I have, maybe I wasn't listening. I wasn't sitting in life. And so I was on my fucking phone being a douche, being like, Instagram, somebody said titular and it just went in and out. So thank you, Eric. Thank you, David, for stopping to help absorb it, because now I feel like I'm never going to forget titular.
That was the education part of the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. And you go, like, don't blink. You're going to miss the educational portion of the podcast.
That's right, because it'll pass by faster than a Channing Tatum book. So with that, we have come to the end of our podcast. But before we end, we wanted to extend a huge thank you to you, David, for being on.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank I you loved welcome. It. It was really great. I had no idea, like a good improv scene, I had no idea what I was going to experience or what I was doing. And every moment was really awesome. It was really great. So thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you. And I also wanted to ask, Cam, we talked about this. No, but we also wanted to ask... We also wanted to ask you, where can people find you? What have you got to plug? I know you said it once, but you know, if we titulate on it, then people will absorb it. I don't know if I'm using it right. I'm still trying it on for size.
You know what?
I feel titillated.
I think you came up with a new word, and I don't mind that at all. if you just go, I'm very specific on what social media I do with what. I do most of my political rantings and using the fuck word in Facebook and Twitter. Instagram is mostly about food pictures, of which I am fantastic. Hashtag Raz Eats Food. I'm not kidding. If you go hashtag Raz Eats Food, you're going to see some great food pictures. Oh. what are the other ones? That's about it. So www.davidrozowski.com. There's some really great videos on there of shows that I've been in, people that I've worked with. And that's where the podcast comes in. So It's ADD Comedy with Dave Rozowski. I've got probably about 250 episodes of it. Since I started writing the book, I've put it aside. But the one that you mentioned, Stephen, is really great. The Steve Colbert one is great. The Steve Carell one is really great.
Yes.
And then there are people that people don't know. Like there's one by a guy named Carl Gottlieb. And Carl Gottlieb, you're like, he's a history of improvisation. He was with the committee. But he wrote this movie called Jaws. Duh. And he wrote this other movie where you go, how did the one person write these two movies? The Jerk. He wrote both of those.
Oh, wow.
Huh. And he was a guest on my podcast, and he was fantastic. So it's like a little repository of improvisation and stories, and it's been really great. It's just really great, and I want to come back to it as soon as I can. But as you know, a podcast is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to put together.
That it is. That it is. But you know what? We'll make it a little easier for people, for to get you some more fans. We'll put a link to everything that you've described in the show notes, plus the podcast, plus those three highlighted episodes. So I feel like they're a good palate introducers. They're not cleansers. Yeah, maybe a palate cleanser from our shitty podcast you can get into your. Yeah. So that's great. Well,
it's awesome. Been really fun, y'all. It's been really, yeah. Really fun.
It's been a blast. Well, thank you so much. Cam, by the way, Cam and Eric, do you guys have anything that you guys want to plug?
Not that will be coming out by the time this comes out.
So, no children's books?
I'm all okay. Good. Yeah.
All right.
I'm still writing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, and we'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
Ooh-hoo. Later.